So, how's everybody doing? It's hot in here. It's great. It's good. It's awesome. So as I already previously stated last week, what God has been giving to me and where we're going for a little while here is going to be dealing with how we, as awesome believers in God, love to get in His way. We love to get in the way of the things God wants to accomplish. We love to get in the way of things God wants to do in us and through us. And so we limit His ability. And last week we talked about power, right? And we talked about dunamis power, and we talked about how dunamis obviously being power, but also being what else? Does anybody remember? Come on, church. Nobody? Don't remember? No, not duty. Here, I thought you guys were on top of it. I'll bail you out today. No, it's potential, right? It's what's inside of us. We have this potential inside of us, and that potential for power is both dunamis. Both of those are dunamis. And so if we know that inside of us, the dwelling power of Christ wants to come out, how do you think He wants to come out? What do you think the number one way Jesus wants to show up? Any guesses? Takers? Nope. Nobody? Huh? In our hearts now? Bing! Thank you, Becky. Through your words. Through your speech. And so, we have this issue where we get in the way of God taking over what we say. And we limit God in what He wants to accomplish and what He wants to do because we think we have the better things to say. Now, let's take that into consideration. I'm going to go through a little bit of a story of biblical history. And then hopefully, if I do a very good job today, you will understand what is going on in a very big and real way now, today, here, presently, and what we need to do to fix it. Amen? So, Father, let Your word go out today. Let it affect the change in our lives that You want to see, God. Let us be submitted to Your word. Let us obey that which You give us today, Father. Let us put it into our heart. Let it grow and find fertile soil, God, so that it can mature us and grow us into Your perfect image, into Your will, so that we, God, can be submitted and obedient to Your will in every aspect of our lives, day in and day out, until You call us home. Jesus, have Your way. And all God's people said, amen. So if you want to turn to it, you can turn to Genesis 11. This is where the story is going to start. And maybe you know about this, maybe you don't. It depends on how scholarly you are about the Bible. But today we are living in a world that is more connected than it has ever been. Yet, did anybody notice how isolated we are? We are more connected today, and the ability to connect easier than any other generation ever before us. Aren't you glad you do not have to use homing pigeons to communicate to your loved ones? You can't do that around my neck of the woods. Ed will kill him. Be like, Ed, I was just sending a letter. Oh, sorry. I apologize. I'll never get a letter out. But we can talk to people instantly. We can even see their faces as though they're right in front of us through a boxy device. Yes? Yep, you got it. Right? We have the most versatility to connect and communicate one to another than any generation, yet what do? We isolate ourselves more and more and more and more. Isn't that a strange phenomenon? The idea of expressing our faith in God is lost, even though our impact would be great. Why is that? We have outlets to talk to everybody and anybody at any given moment, at any point in time, yet, is the word of God going out? Is the gospel being preached? Like, I look biblically how they say you need to climb on a rooftop to preach the gospel to the neighbors nearby, right? Okay? To all they can hear. Or go up on a hill. That's so that everybody can hear what you had to say. You don't need to do that. You can get in a group chat. Do we? Nope. Nope. We don't do it. Why do we seal our mouths closed or find our speech to be common and like those around us? Why does this occur? Believe it or not, church, it is not due to a lack of faith. Because I bet you that was probably what you were thinking. I just need more faith. I just need more faith. If I believed more, I would do these things. I would believe and I would do it. I'd believe and I would do it. And we think that it's a lack of faith. It is not. It is actually because we want to control what we say. The reason why we want to control what we say is because of this one I word. Because in the culture of man, a real man is a man of integrity, which means if you say it, you will do it. Right? Do you women have that same code of integrity? That you live by that? Like if you say you're going to do something, you do it? Yeah? You have that same code? Okay, cool. I mean, everybody has the same code. I just thought it was a man thing. That's how I was raised. I was raised with like, you're a man, you need to stand on your word. That's how it was. You're a man of your word. That's what the whole man of your word phrase came from. Right? We don't want to be held to something that we say in connection to something God wants to do, because guess what that means now? You have to walk it out. And so we withhold the words because we don't want to go do the things that God actually wants us to do. We don't want to be transformed. We don't want to be who God called us to be. So in Genesis, this event occurs, and you don't have, I'm not going to read it word for word, but I just wanted you to have it. From 1 to 9, God's people, at this point in time, all spoke how many languages? How many? How many languages? Come on, say it louder. One language. Okay, there we go. They only spoke one language. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It absolutely is irrelevant. What is relevant, though, is that something happened because they spoke one language, they communicated clearly, they had all access to communicate as perfectly as any society ever created. There was no misunderstandings, no miscommunications, everything was clear and concise because there was only one language. There's no way to misunderstand. Look, I don't speak Spanish, so if you come at me with Spanish, I'm like, ¿qué? Because that's the only one I know. And no habla español. Come at me with French, I'll go, ¿qué? Because that's about all I know. Again, so please understand, this was a period of time where there was no room for that. There was no misunderstanding. That being said, there was something that happened in God's people. God's people became arrogant. And in their arrogance, they thought they could do what? Build a structure that would reach God. A God just said, oh, well, what are they doing? And they are building this cool tower. And God said, oh, that's very creative. What's the reason you're building this cool tower? Because we think we can reach as high as you. God goes, oh, so you're prideful and you're arrogant and you think you can do things in your strength that are superior to me. Let's see how well you do it when now you don't understand each other anymore. And now you don't speak that language and you all speak these different dialects and languages and none of y'all can talk to each other anymore. What'd they do? Well, they quit that project. Quit. They stopped. Because they literally could not work together to accomplish what arrogance they had to try and accomplish that. This is where we are today. We're no better than those people at that time that were arrogantly believing they could do something in their strength that was far superior to anything God could do. And has God muddled our communication? He hasn't. He didn't have to. We do it ourselves. He didn't have to do it. The whole reason he did this, however, is very important, because the reason God did this was not as a punishment or as a consequence for their arrogance. It was to actually isolate the people of God, because in their isolation, they would turn back to him. Today, we have a generation of people that would prefer to be isolated so they could get further away from God, not closer. I'm telling you all this for a reason, because there is something pivotal that the enemy is doing that God is intricately woven into and highly interested in, and is being sabotaged and destroyed day in and day out, and we're willing participants in it. Do I have your attention? Then turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11. And this is where we will actually begin today. 2 Corinthians 11. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 11, 16 through 21. And this is Paul. And I really want you to hear this. I'm going to do my best to try and articulate it the way I really think Paul was trying to say it. I like Paul. Paul's probably one of my favorite. Because Paul, he spoke very plainly to people that needed to be smacked a lot of the time. If you read the letters to the churches, these people were mostly doing things okay, but then they needed a good gib slap. A little smack up the head. And this is one of those moments. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but, as it were, foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Does anybody get the idea that he's mocking them right now? Because believe it or not, that's what he's doing. He's mocking them. For something. You'll find out. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. You hear that? That's snark. Had I ever heard snark? For you put up with it. If one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you in the face. To our shame, I say, that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. This might not be clear to you, but let me make it clear for you. What is he talking about, and why is he bringing this up? He is ironically boasting to the Corinthians, because the Corinthians are boasting in these teachers and in these people who are doing these great and wonderful things, and their boasting is in what they are doing. They are, look at me, look at what I'm doing, check me out, hey, watch me. And they're going, oh, look at him, isn't he great, oh wow. And Paul is coming in going, oh, I'm a fool, because I don't do any of those things. I must be stupid, because I don't do any of those things. But you know what? I'm going to boast in my stupidity, because after all, I'm dumb. I get put in prison. I'm dumb. I get to do hardship ministry. I'm dumb. I get to give everything of mine away and live this miserly life. That's what he's saying. He He boasts to them being a fool as he boasts on how he has suffered for Christ and endured chains and been brought low for the sake of Christ. The people who have gained the attention of the Corinthians, however, boast on their accomplishments, their speaking, and themselves. So he's calling them out. Listen to what I'm saying. This should sound familiar. Because we are currently living in a generation where there are people who are all around, who have control of a lot of things, who say a whole lot of stuff to get you to go, listen to what I'm saying because I'm important. Hear what I have to say, because what I have to tell you is super important. We like to call these people the elites. You can put any kind of personal name on top of this after I'm done. I'm not throwing names out today. Okay? You can filter in the names as you see fit. I'm just using that term. But they have positions of power, and they only speak of their accomplishments. They tell you about all the good things they have done. They tell you about what they are going to do. And you follow blindly the words of these people as though they're honorable, and you celebrate them as though they have done great things. Where's God? Where's He at? Why aren't we talking about what He has done? Why aren't we one-upping that idiot who wants to pompously and arrogantly tell me about all the things that he's done in the name of himself with, well, guess what? My God has done this, and my God has done this, and my God has done this. Where's that voice? See, what happened is, we have basically become silent because we either entertain the voice or we agree with it. We'd rather hear what the elites have to say. We'd rather hear what the people in power have to say than hear what God has to say. We'd rather listen to their dictates and follow their dictates rather than follow the word of God and what He wants to say. Do you see what's happening? In our isolation, in this language of confusion, we've adopted a language that can supersede all the other languages, but rather than use that language, we'd rather entertain the one that we have. And we'd rather listen in the silo to the language that we hear because we understand it. It makes sense to us. So there's a problem, and that problem is arrogance. And that arrogance is still even here. It's in the church as we speak. Do we not see this church? What am I saying? I'm not talking about preachers. I'm not talking about teachers. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about every single person who sits in a church and doesn't open their mouth when God says, open your mouth. Because if you don't, that isn't because of a lack of faith. It is because of your arrogance. Because you believe that you have control. And you're on the throne. And you get to make the decisions. Is that not the same arrogance that built the Tower of Babel? Do you see the illustration? Do you see its cause? Now, I find this very humorous. Because arrogance is here, and I'm bringing this up. What's the opposite of arrogance? Humility. Humility is the exact opposite of arrogance. And what is humility? Let me tell you, it is not being silent. If you thought being humble meant being silent, you're a fool. Because that is not what humility is. Because I will give you a prime example. Do you know who the humblest guy I know is? He is the most humble. He made the most humble sacrifice ever made. On that cross. Not that physical one. That's not the actual cross. Just so you know. Resemblance. Probably bigger. But Jesus was humility. I don't recall him being quiet. I remember him making lots of ruckuses. Matter of fact, I have scripture that tells me he didn't come to just be friendly with everybody. He came to bring an offense and a sword. My man wouldn't shut up. So why do we? Well, I need to be humble. Why do you need to be humble and be quiet? Who put humility and quiet in the same category? Guess who did? You did. You did. It wasn't a teacher. It wasn't a preacher. I haven't heard a message about it. I haven't heard a message that says, sit peaceably and quiet in your humility. I haven't heard it. I don't see it. But you know what I do know? Is that it makes you comfortable, so you adapt it. Because it lets you have control. I'm being humble. I'm being so humble right now. You have no idea how humble I am. You know why you don't know how humble I am? Because I'm quiet. You would never know. But what is humility? Humility, 1828, consists in lowliness of mind, a deep state, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to the divine will. I really want you to focus on the last part. Humility in its core is submission to the divine will of who? Of you? Of me? Of what I say? Follow me? No. God, right? His will. Humility is submission to God's will. So then turn with me to Proverbs 18:20. This is where we're going to really start turning the corner. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In our arrogance, we have become fat off of flattering speech. We love hearing about ourselves. We love the compliments. Matter of fact, you can't get fired today unless you get it in a compliment sandwich. Right? Because that's what your higher-ups say. This is how you lower peons deal with the even lower people that you need to get rid of. Because after all, I don't want to hurt your feelings. You're terrible at your job. Get out. Keep up the good work. This is a reality, is it not? This is the world you live in. But what happens is this continual application of us using the words that God gives us, and instead of using them to glorify Him and accomplish His will, we're going to just feed on it on our own and fatten ourselves up. We've created a society that feeds more on a diet of the words of man and zero on the words of God. We would rather hear something good from another person than hear what God has to say is good for you. Think about this. How many times have you opened up and tried to talk to somebody about God and they go, oh, I don't want to hear about what He has to say? But you can compliment them all day long. And they're like, oh, that's great. Thanks for the encouragement. Why are we encouraging people that don't want to hear what God has to say? We're just filling them up on stuff that will do nothing but produce what? Death. Oh, well, I'm not trying to speak death. Oh, I know. You're not. But the problem is that you're controlling what comes out, and out of that control, you're limiting the life that God wants to produce, and instead what you're producing is absent of life, which is death. All that flattery gets you nowhere. This is mainstream now. This has become the commonplace of everything in today's speech. It's hate speech, right? What else? racism, sexism, affirming care, trans lives matter, BLM, LGBTQ, LMNOP, P, I don't know all the other alphabet letters that are in there, but throw them all in there. It doesn't matter anyway. Let me ask you a question. In every single one of these things that seem great on the outside, where is God? He's not even present. I love the affirming care one, or any lives matter ones. It has nothing to do with God valuing the life of the person. It has nothing with the care that God has for the person. It has everything to do with the care that you have to give for the person because, well, we said so. Oh, and by the way, here's the reason why. Oh, and if you don't, bigot. You're a bigot? I'm a bigot because I care more about what God wants for your life than what you want for your life? I'm the bigot? You need to look up the word bigot. But this is the reality today, right, church? This is what you're up against. What has happened is society's exchanged the word of God for a lie, and that lie is that we human beings are the most important thing. You're the most important thing. You matter. You are the best. Let's make you onto a trophy. Let's give that trophy to you to celebrate you and how you are so you. This is horrible garbage, and I know you've heard it a bunch. If you're part of a woke company that produces wokeness in its company, this is the garbage you're hearing day in and day out. Because they are telling you this is what matters. You matter. You as a person matter. I'm telling you, no, you don't matter. God matters. You don't matter. God matters. Well, wait a minute. Oh, that seems really wrong. How could a pastor tell me I don't matter? Because you don't. He does. And if you know that he matters, guess what matters to him? You! That's called a relationship. But the relationships now are so self-absorbed, they're just one person by themselves, isolated in a closet. I love me. And that's all that matters to me. That I love myself. Self-love is great love. No, it's not. It's a curse. It's sin. It's evil. Call evil evil. Amen? All that stuff is evil. Every bit of it. It's evil. It's wickedness. And it's the enemy trying to perverse communication. But in this, right? In this idea that human beings are the most important thing, we created a social construct that puts man in control of the words we speak. So that the beings that matter are given the affirmation that they crave. This is actually now currently where we live. We live in a country that gives us this one freedom. The freedom of speech. You actually can say whatever you want. Do it while you still can because they're trying to erase it. Because they don't want you to have the freedom to say whatever you want because what they don't want you to say is something that God wants you to say. It's not even about truth anymore. Has nothing to do with truth. Because if it had to do with truth, the stuff that would be coming out here would make a semblance of sense. It's almost ridiculously over the top clown world. Like it was clown world like 3 years ago. And you go, man, they can't get any worse than that. Somebody said, hold my beer. Because they did. And they're doubling down again and again and again. And so now what happens is, if you're not going to be a participant, a cog in the wheel, they're going to take your ability to say anything away. You won't be able to speak it. It's either what they say or not at all. I find this ironic. Because here we go back to the tower where they all spoke one language, and that one language was in arrogance and pride to turn around and erect their own God. I guess it was a God complex. They thought they were better than God themselves, right? In their arrogance. Look what's repeating. They're forming one woke language. that they all share regardless of the dialect. They say the same catchphrases day in and day out, speaking it in ad nauseum, all for their pride. I find it ironic that this is in the beginning of a month that I don't celebrate. That's just comical to me. But death and life are both there, and they are both carried and brought forth from those same affirming words. When you think that you're doing good by affirming somebody who doesn't need to be affirmed but need to be told the word of God, you're actually doing harm. And that harm is becoming a reality. Because what do you think is happening more and more and more as their one language world becomes more prominent? Are deaths going down? Worse than they've ever been. Worse than they've ever been. See, the world has believed this lie for so long that words have become a shriveled, worthless tool that keeps churning out nothing but useless garbage. That's why I don't watch TV, church. I'm just telling you. Where is the power of God? Let me ask you that. Where is the power of God? You'd think it would be in the church. It's not even in the church anymore. It's not to be found. Where is the voice of the Lord? You're waiting for your preacher to give it to you? Is that what you're waiting for? You waiting for me to speak up so that you can? There might be truth there. Instead of speaking with the words of God and his power and authority, we instead participate in base arguments that further the cause of man's words, filling bellies, and furthering the wicked agenda. I don't participate. If you're going to have a base argument about stupid stuff that doesn't include God, I don't want to even entertain the conversation. It's pointless. It's fruitless. It has no value. And all it does is get that person filled up on their words. Because it's a self-actualization vocabulary. The words, doesn't matter if you say them or they say them, they still get fat off of them. Do you think about that? They want to have an argument with you just so they can say the words to make themselves feel better about themselves. It doesn't even care who the person is. I've seen adults argue with toddlers. And it wasn't their kid. About clothes that they're wearing. In parking lots. I'm like, if I had a kid and you were yelling at my child, I'd throat punch you. You're not going to be able to talk anymore. For at least 5 minutes. You can think about that. Why are you having an argument with a toddler? Because you don't care what the toddler can say. You only want to hear your speech. You want to hear what you say. We are limiting God, unfortunately, and what he wants to do by no longer speaking with his voice. We instead use ours. Because, again, we want control. We don't want to be held accountable to what God may say through us, because after all, if God's using my windpipes to utter words, I'm going to go, oh no. Oh no. Oh no. That tongue is a fire that's going to set a forest ablaze, and I don't have buckets. What do I do? What's going to happen? See, this is where it gets interesting, because we have this world system and the arrogance that's going forth, and we have people of God who are not struggling in the same battle. Because I don't see the church as arrogant. I see the church as cowardice. Mm-hmm. It's cowardice. We come to church, we hide in our four walls, we allow God to move here, but once we step foot out there, oh, no, 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 God, no, 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 you can't go out there. They're crazy. You don't know what they're going to do. They got guns. And they're trying to take my gun away. So that they can have the guns, but I can't. Well, what do you mean? Are you talking about guns? I'm not actually talking about physical firearms. Please understand. I'm talking about words. They don't play fair, God. They do things that they're not supposed to do. They don't play by the rules. You know what's funny, church? Jesus didn't play by the rules either. So why do we expect to go out into a world full of rules that they write and expect that we're going to have to obey by those rules when the God that we serve didn't write those rules, so therefore he is not going to abide by them. They're not his rules. That's not his rules. And as much as this country is great and all, even our Constitution is not his rules. Do you understand that, church? The Constitution that we abide by in this country, that we abide by, but I don't know about everybody else out there abide by, but I do know that I abide by this Constitution, is still not his rules. And so what are you going to do when God tells you to do something that might violate the Constitution that you live in? Are you going to do it or not? Turn to Matthew 10. We're going to be at Matthew for just a little bit, and then you can backpedal just a little bit more. Matthew 10, verse 18 through 20 says, "You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but who? The Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." There's a word in there that's really important. And it's the reason why we don't. We worry. We are more afraid of man than we are of God. And therefore we do not open our mouth. We are afraid of the consequences that man may put upon us while we live on this lovely plane of existence, rather than the God who can destroy not just the body, but the soul. We fear man more than God. And in that fear of man, that worry grips us, and instead of opening our mouth and allowing the Spirit of the Father who would speak for us on our behalf, we then come up with words to fill in the blanks, or we keep our mouth open saying a bunch of gibberish so that he can't get a word in edgewise, or we just good luck opening this trap. I know some of the most talkative people on the planet that could talk for hours and hours and hours and days and days and days about nothing and meaningless things, but put them in a position where they got to talk about things of God, and man, it's like crickets. I'm like, what happened? You wouldn't shut up 3 minutes ago. Now all of a sudden you got nothing to say? Man, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get what's going on. But I know what's going on. It's because we're afraid of the wrong entities. We are afraid of man, not afraid of God. This is why we would give away our liberty to speak, as though man can silence God. We believe that can happen. That man has the power to take away your freedom of speech, therefore you can't say anything, so God's silent and he won't speak anymore. That's funny. You gonna tell the donkeys to stop talking? How about the cats and the dogs and the rocks? Good luck. Good luck, government. Come shut up the rocks for me. I want to see you write a law that says if a rock is found confessing the name of Jesus Christ after 12 p.m., it will be smashed into smithereens. I really want to see that written. Can we get to a place? It shouldn't happen, right, church? Why? If the rocks are doing it, what's that mean? We're not. That's going to spell bad news for us when we get to meet the Father. Amen? Removing the limiting factor to our speech starts by surrendering ourselves to the actual Spirit of God. If you have not been baptized in the Spirit, you're making it more difficult for this process. But if you've been baptized in the Spirit, that means, guess what? You've given this freedom of your control away to the Spirit of God. At least you said you did. But for some reason, down the pipeline, you decided to go, hold on to that for just a bit. Not really sure I really want you to have that freedom yet, God. I'm not ready for all that. If you want to use me here in the house of the Lord, that's fine. But I don't know about all that stuff outward out there. Let's keep that under wraps for a bit. We worry about what to say and how to say it. We worry about offending, when the reality of things is you should offend. This world needs to be offended because they're offending God, right? I love it. People are like, oh, this new stuff they're doing to our kids, oh, it's so offensive. Say something. Stop telling yourself you're offended. Go tell them you're offended. Amen? Go tell them how God is offended and how what they're doing is an abomination to Him. Oh, they don't want to hear that. It doesn't matter that they want to hear it. That's not what matters. 27 through 28, same place. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul. Where is the preaching on the rooftops, church? We have this propensity to believe that God is going to be nice and kind and friendly and peaceable and all these wonderful things. That's not true. It's false. He is holy. He is awesome in every way imaginable. Why do we think that the things that God would say in His holiness, in His righteousness, is something that the world would accept in its current state? Does it sound like things that they would welcome with open arms? No. So stop trying to paint a picture that they're going to approve of. They're never going to approve of it. But you shouldn't just be quiet because they're not going to. Well, they're not going to listen anyway, so why should I bother? All the more reason to be louder and more obnoxious. Who are you doing it for? Again, it goes back to this premise. Who is leading and controlling the conversation? Are you trying to score points? Or is God having His way? Is God using you to say what He wants to say? Or are you busy trying to speak for Him? We limit God here too because we don't want to be ostracized. We'd rather fit in. We'd rather blend into the crowd. I love it. People tend to think this is a great way to witness. If I just disguise myself as one of them and I come in there all criminal-like and they take me in as one of their own and then I go, ha-ha, joke's on you, Jesus! And they go, oh, you rapscallion, you got me. Oh, now I need to convert over to Christianity. How's that working for you? All you're doing is you're playing this game of hot and cold. Well, guess what, fence sitter? You're going to have a sore rump. Last part in Matthew 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. See, the word deny is really interesting because we tend to think this is basically me going, oh God, you don't exist. That's not denying him. Denying him is saying, no God, you can't come into this place. You can't use my voice as you see fit. You can't say what you want to say here. That's denying him. Were you not bought and paid for? Is your life your own still? Or did you give your life up in exchange for his on the cross? It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. When's that process starting, church? When you say, I'm done? And you checked out of Motel 6? Well, now you can say whatever you want, Jesus. I'm out of here. Go ahead. Have your fun. He's looking at you going, I never knew you. You never even wanted to be a part of this process. You were just playing a game. We don't deny his existence. We don't deny his existence to ourselves. We believe he exists. We understand that. But what we do is we deny his ability to move. We deny his ability to show forth the power and might of his excellence to come forth when we open our mouths and it's not us saying anything, but it's just him speaking. We think we have the better answers. Or we just muddle our voice into it to bring all this wonderful confusion to the things God wants to say because we think we know how to present it or say it better. And finishing up, Mark. Mark 13, verse 11. It's real simple stuff. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And Mark 11, 23 through 24. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We limit God by thinking that we have the answers. We limit God by thinking we have the right answer. We know the solution. We know what needs to be spoken here at this very moment. And we know that when we say it, hey, this means I can handle it. I have control. I can control that fluctuation of in and out. I get to control what can be done, what can't be done. I'm limiting everything and controlling it in my realm of hemisphere because that's all I can comprehend. And so with my comprehension and limited skills and ability, this is as far as I'm willing to go. So I put a cap on it and I go no further than this. And I control the influx. But here's what happens. Oh no, you do. You absolutely do. God's not violating your will to speak. But what I will tell you, church, is that we have this issue where we don't see the power and the movement of God. Remember I started this off with, we don't have it. It's not going. It's not moving. Where is it? The world's running amok. And there's no voice of the Lord standing up and going, hey, all your mouths need to be silenced and shut in Jesus' name. Whoa, you can't say that. Yes, I can. Because it's not me saying it. I opened my mouth and he spoke. And in that power of that speech lies the dunamis power that actually can move a mountain into the sea. Church, this is where you need to get it straight. If you open your mouth and the words that come out are not your own but of God, whose job is it to make that happen? Yours or his? So why are you stopping? Why are you so concerned about what you have to do when you weren't asked to do it? You were just asked to do one thing. Open your mouth and let him speak. That's all you were asked to do. Open your mouth and let Him speak. And then watch Him do it. And what your job afterward to do is to confirm the signs and wonders that follow. That's it. You open your mouth and you say nothing, and God goes, hey, watch this magic trick. And then the magic trick happens, and then you go, did you guys see that magic trick God just did? Oh man, He's awesome. Watch this again. I'm gonna go do this. Oh look, He just did it! Oh my gosh, that's so awesome! He's so cool! You like groupies that just celebrate God and then get to tell everybody, hey, guess what God's about to do next? And then you sit, you announce it, and then you go watch, and you go, oh look, He's doing it again! Go back and watch or read the things that Jesus was doing and how He did it. Because Jesus Himself followed the same metric. He did not do anything unless He saw the Father do it first. The things He spoke were the things that the Father spoke. He literally said, here's what's going to happen, then did it. And in most cases, He turned around and told them, by the way, just keep this one between you and me. Knowing very well, guess what they were going to do? They're going to go tell it. Faith in God is not something you think about or something you go and you do. It's something you actually have to speak into life. You have to speak the things of God into existence and then watch God show up. That's how you increase your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, right? It's not just listening to the Bible on tape, church. It's speaking the word of God and watching Him move before you. We have got to get out of this mindset of just filling ourselves up with a bunch of knowledge and words of wisdom and never practically opening our mouths to allow God to show up and increase our actual faith. We've been silent for way too long. What power lies within us is limited by us returning to this muddled condition that started in Babylonia. What God intended to correct our arrogance by confusing our language, we now pridefully embrace and entrench ourselves in the confusion deeper and deeper. The only clarity and correction to this is found by allowing the voice of the Lord to come out. By surrendering and submitting to the will of the Spirit of God to use us as He sees fit and to speak through us. Here's the catch, church. If you can't even do it here, how are you going to do it out there? This is a safe of a place you will ever find. I don't like using that word safe. Because it may not be safe for very long, but for right now it's safe. But if you can't open your mouth and let God speak through you as He wants to here in this house and amidst of other believers who understand what is happening right now through you is the Spirit of God is moving upon you and through you to speak freely to the rest of us, to edify and exhort and encourage us, how are you going to go out there and do it? Because nobody here is probably going to ridicule you or attack you or yell at you or tell you how horrible you are. No, we'll welcome that, right? How many people would welcome God speaking right now to you directly through another person? To hear the voice of the Lord say something that you needed to hear today. How many people would want to hear the voice of the Lord right now? Okay. So everybody here would want to hear Him. Anybody here can open their mouth and God can say something. Amen. You don't have to wait for me to do it. You don't have to wait for the prophet to speak. Do you not have the Holy Spirit? Is He not willing to come and speak through you? Sure. What's stopping Him? It's not Him. It's you. I'm encouraging you, church, start here. What should be happening in this house should be so much move of God day in and day out, the power and the might of God moving and flowing through his body here to such a point where the confidence in God's people to know that what God wants to say and do when we go out there, it happens. We've gotten into a very bad habit. And we've allowed the words and the things that are important that God wants to say to be overridden by a bunch of stuff that just fattens our egos up and lifts our pride and our arrogance back to where it was way back when. I'm not calling you to repentance today. I'm calling you to reflect. If you need to repent because you've been stymieing the works and you've been a player in it, then repent. If this is more to do with you being more open, then be more open. Allow God to come and speak. Don't be afraid of what he's got to say. Embrace what he has to say. It's one thing I know about when God speaks and uses me to speak. Not only do I edify somebody else in this house, but I get edified too. That's how awesome our God is. Amen? That's how powerful he is. And this is what he wants to do. So I think it's about high time we get on board with him. Amen? Amen? Are you on board? Don't say amen if you're not. Father, we are here, Lord, for you. We are here to be used by you, God. We surrendered our lives. We've given them to you, Father. And all you ask, Lord, is that we would submit to the will of your Spirit, to want to move and do as you see fit and accomplish those things that you want to accomplish in us and through us, God. Not so that we become glorified or magnified, but so that you are magnified and glorified, God. So I pray, Lord, that each of us would sit before you, surrender these areas, God. Repent, Father, of where we have gone astray. And God, we would walk through this new reality, being open to what it is you want to say and just letting you go to say whatever it is you want to say, God. Have our words. Let you move in power and might as we go before you, God. Jesus, I thank you, God, that you continue to lead and direct our lives and continue to show us through your word what it is we need to be about so that we can be about Father's business. I pray that we would be obedient today and that we would take this and we would apply it and we would move forward in it. In Jesus' name, amen.